My question relates really from the standpoint of having gone to a Christian church on occasions, I go occasionally, but I've never felt absolutely committed to it, and to the point that I wouldn't go up and...
Which is a denomination, by the way?
This is the Church of England.
Church of England.
Church of England, yes. But what about Islam might attract me, in fact? What would be the compelling thing about Islam that does convince people that it's a great religion?
You see, the issue you have raised is essentially individual and not a communal issue. It happens in every religion. According to Islam, does not monopolize truth and does not monopolize dedication to God. So if someone is found in any religion who is truly dedicated to him, it's for God to take care of him. And when you go to church with well equipped with that dedication, where you know that you will find God, and when you have a sort of inner communion established with him, then if you go to church or a mosque or anywhere which is reserved for worship, you will find that peace which you have just mentioned. But the issue is not this, to find peace. The issue is how to determine whether it is a trustworthy experience or a hollow experience. Because with wrong ideas, wrong ideologies, sometimes the peace we talk about individually is a psychological impression, no more. And it is there that the danger lies, and we must rise up to a level where we could observe ourselves as if from a higher vantage point, and we could determine whether we have been following the right path or not. So there the subjective feeling is not enough at all. From the subjective point of view, you cannot determine the truth of any religion. Because in Buddhism, in Hinduism, in Confucianism, such religions as speak of internal experiences, delving deeper into your own selves, this is what they search for, the peace, and this is what they claim they have achieved. So what sort of God that would be who reaches them even if they believe that he is so many gods, and even if you believe there is no God? So it could not be a divine phenomenon at all, because if a Buddhist delves deeper into his own self and finds peace, as they claim, we have no right to say, no, you haven't found peace. They live all their lives in such sacrifice that we cannot reject their claim. And they find themselves contented and happy in that poorly state which we observe from the outside, they must have found something. And that is the sort of peace I'm talking about, which is not a sign of God's presence or communion with God or finding God at last. This is a completely different sign which tells of harmony, that's all. If you are at harmony with your ideology, with your ideal, you will always find peace. A rascal, a wicked man, also tastes a sort of peace. As long as he cannot express his wickedness in real terms, he is never at peace. But once he does it, then you see him exult and sitting so satisfied, you know. A corrupt officer, when he gets the corruption he needs, then you see the type of peace on his face. So contented, like the vulture eating carrions. they also find peace, because that is their ideal. So peace must be fully analyzed first. Peace by itself does not deliver any message whatsoever, except that you have been at one now, at last, with what you wanted, with your desire, your ideals. So for reaching God, something else is needed. For that, some external signs, which are not born of human psyche, are needed. There, his, you know, love of you should be expressed not only by your happiness, but by the signs of love, which are always expressed when someone else loves someone else and does something for it, for him or for it. A child is loved by the mother. You can't judge that by the content of the child. Sometimes he feels very discontented at the treatment at the hands of a mother, because she forces him or her to go to school, she wakes the child up at odd hours and so on. So there is no content observable in the child. But about the love of the mother, you can never raise questions. Because you see that whatever she does for the child, if accepted by the child, continues to improve his quality, continues to make him a better person, and the outward efforts are visible. There is no subjectivity about it. Anyone can observe a mother playing, giving expression to her love for her children. So the parents, both of them, do the same, and we know who loves whom. But if you love someone and he is at pain, and you don't help him, if you say you love someone, and you never transfer something of yours to that person, then that love is meaningless and hollow. So it is in this context that you should see for the signs of closeness to God. And it is here that the claim of Islam should be taken seriously, where it says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَّهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِذَا سَعَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. It's a very short sign. It's not a question of impressions at all. It says, those who are in search of me, if they are genuinely in search of me, they can't reach me unless I help them reach me. And I promise, most certainly, لَنَّهْدِيَنَّهُمْ is the expression which is the stronger expression than that cannot be found in Arabic grammar. La is a letter of emphasis. Noon is a letter and added at the at the end of the verb, indicating emphasis. But when you double the noon, instead of لَنَّهْدِيَنَا, you say لَنَّهْدِيَنَّا, as it is used in this verse, then no stronger emphasis can be expressed in Arabic than this style of speech. So God says, those who seek me, try to come me from different ways, reach me from different ways, they can't, I can. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ, I will lead them to myself. And this is a promise. So the journey begins for search of God, and how he would lead you is an open issue. Most often he leads you through the paths of trials, through suffering, through sacrifice, where your truth is tried. It is not a subjective truth to be enjoyed like romance. It is something which is tried at every step, and then it can be demonstrated that this man was true. So the Holy Quran has given another criterion. It's a so wonderful criterion and so rational, so logical, that after that the question of impressions simply does not arise. It says, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله. O Prophet, many people claim that they love God. You also claim. But tell them, you may love God, but God will love you only if you follow me and demonstrate your love as I have demonstrated it. You see, the life of the Holy Prophet is a life through the path of continuous sacrifices. He lost his titles, his honor, then reputation he had earned of a pious man, young man, and so truthful that the Arabs used to call him Amin. And after he claimed to be from God, after he offered himself to God, he was called the worst liar in the whole of Arabia. A liar who was also mad. And his wisdom was also, you know, no more counted as something real. They said, an impression was made, but we have discovered him to be an absolutely madman, and an imposter, and a cheat, and a usurper of others. You know, what a change in the entire personality takes place only for the claim that I love my God. So to love of God has to be so sincere as it should be transferred into actions, into conduct, and should not remain sitting in the heart somewhere in the security of your chest. When it expresses itself in your acts and when you show readiness to sacrifice anything for the sake of reaching God, then God reaches you. This is the meaning of I reach you. But after that, you just leave it to him. Okay, I am with you. I don't care what happens. But then he will begin to care for you. Then the signs do appear. He won't say, you don't care, so I don't care. No, because you don't care against yourself. You don't care the interest of yourself for my sake, but I will care. And that is also which is expressed in the Quran in so many ways. So it is a very logical and very most beautifully balanced religion, which explains everything to which it calls. So from our experience we have found this happened so many times. In my own experiences, I can quote the example of someone who once came to me with a problem that his daughter had decided to marry someone whom the father knew to be a bad choice, and a very, detrimental choice for her religion and everything. But she wouldn't listen. She said, no way, I'm mature, I know my good, my what's right for me, what's wrong for me, don't interfere. And that father was in such agony when he reached me, and he said, could you help me? I said, send your girl to me and I'll see. So the girl came to meet me and I told her, she should feel free, tell me whatever it is. I'm not going to press her for anything with which she wouldn't agree. So she opened up, otherwise she was so scared, she thought that my father has sent me and he's going to give me a strong talk against that man and this and that. I said, no, nothing doing. Just let me know what's happening, what you feel about him. And she felt free and she said, this is what I feel about her, about him, and I think my father is wrong. He's not that bad as he thinks. But obviously she was in love. She couldn't see the bad points, particularly before the marriage. Because before the marriage, the image of a person is a very different image on both sides than which appears after the marriage. So she was a logical girl, so I explained to her. I said, I don't say you are wrong, but you should agree that you could be wrong because you are seeing him under the impression of a very strong love. But you know that God is above these things. if there is a detached view of the real situation, it can only be made by God. Do you agree or not? She said, yes, that is true. I said, can you promise me to pray to God that he should guide you to the right path? She said, I have been doing it. What do you mean? This is no new suggestion. And still I'm all right. I said, no, not the way you have been praying, the way I'm going to tell you. You pray to God that you have decided that if a sign from him comes, contrary to her wishes, she is ready, deeply, honestly ready, to chuck away all her desires and follow the wish of God. If you deeply search your own inner self and imagine the real possibility of God telling you to leave that man away, it's false. That love is false, I mean. Will you be able to do it? Then I found her shaken, absolutely shaken, for the first time. Because she was honest. She knew this was too big a promise, and she knew this is not the way she had been praying. So she kept quiet for some time and then said, logically, I can't say no to that. It's the only way. So I promise. And within 1 week, something happened. She lost all love for that man, totally, completely. She was clean-sheeted during the course of that prayer. And then she decided to follow the advice of her father and said, whatever he chooses for me as best, I have considered fully, and this is my considered opinion, that I'm sure I'll be happy with that. So this is the meaning of submission to the will of God with a resolution first. Not lip service, not praying, oh God, show me the right path. When you realize the dangers attendant upon the right path, which are always there, and then submit to the will, and then have faith that in those dangers, it will be he who will help support me out of it, then no problem is left. Right?